someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
We're reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 as we begin today. Let's go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. We're discussing today on temperament and character. Temperament and character. Please understand, as we run through this series on character, that God is laying powerful foundations for us that will sustain us for decades to come. 20, 30, 40 years from now, where your contemporaries get stranded, you will move forward. Your promotion will never be truncated. The path of the just is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. As God lifts you up, you will never come down anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your temperament and your character. Your temperament is your inborn trait and the effect it has on the way you think, feel, and behave. Your inborn trait, your nature, and the effect that it has on the way you think, feel, and behave. We think differently. We behave differently. Okay? We feel differently, depending on our temperament or personality type. A lot of research has been carried out over decades to try to measure the differences between people and the different kinds or types of people that we have. Some people are extroverts, some are introverts. Extroverts respond. Extroverts respond to the things that go on around them. Introverts respond more to the things that go on inside them. There are four basic temperaments. You have the choleric, C-H-O-L-E-R-I-C. You have the sanguine, S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E. You have the melancholy, that spells M-E-L-A-N-C-H-O-L-Y. And you have the phlegmatic, that spells P-H-L-E-G-M-A-T-I-C. The choleric is the goal-oriented person, the achiever. The sanguine is the happy-go-lucky person, excitable, sociable, friendly. The melancholy is a super introvert, highly gifted, artistic, creative, idealistic. The phlegmatic is the calm, easygoing person. Now, each of these temperaments has strengths and weaknesses. Now, when you are able to identify your weaknesses, you can confront your weaknesses and develop a plan for overcoming your weaknesses. You are on the way to maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. That process for putting away, for cutting off weaknesses, for turning weaknesses into strengths, is a major part of our growth and development into adults. So this morning, I want us first to identify the strengths of the different temperaments And then to identify the weaknesses and to confront them. The strengths first. A choleric person is a goal-oriented person, an achiever. They're usually very self-disciplined. If they set a goal for themselves, they will achieve those goals. If they set a standard, they can keep that standard themselves. Also, they're usually very tenacious. They are persistent. They don't give up easily. They're also practical. They face life the way it is. There's no point dealing with any idealistic ideas if it's unrealistic. They deal with practicals. They are pragmatic in their thinking. And then they are decisive. Okay? They are decisive. They make up their minds quickly. What helps this is their intuition. Okay? They like to deal with facts. However, they get frustrated with too much details. So if they ask you a question, in the process of making up their minds, you have 10 points to give them. By the time you get to number 3 or 4, they make up their minds. Because their intuition can take care of the rest. And usually, their decisions are accurate. So they are usually very decisive. Also, they're what you would describe as born leaders. Because they are adventurous, self-confident, they believe that they can resolve any issue, find a way around any situation. Because they are goal-oriented, they will do anything, break through anything to achieve their goals. They are not afraid to take risks. So naturally, if you ask for someone who will lead the group, they will offer. Because they believe that whatever problem shows up, they can solve it. In fact, a lot of the time, they don't wait for anybody to ask for who is interested in offering. They assume control of a group if they find themselves there. Very rich temperament, powerful temperament. When the Spirit of God is in control of this temperament, they achieve awesome things, like the Apostle Paul in the Bible. The sanguine also has awesome strengths. This person is sociable, friendly. They make friends at the snap of a finger. Fantastic storytellers. They make wonderful public speakers and marketers. The live wire of a party. They respond to people's emotions easily. When the Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, the sanguine will do both easily. They respond to people. If a sanguine sees someone looking at him or her, they will respond with a smile or a wink or a nod. Okay? They're tender-hearted, very compassionate. They're usually very optimistic about life, and they're usually very enthusiastic. They're fun-loving. They like to enjoy whatever it is they're doing. And maybe the major strength that they have is the ability to enjoy the present. They don't worry so much about what didn't go right in the past. They don't worry too much about the future. Tomorrow will take care of itself. They have the capacity to enjoy the present. When a sanguine is with you, they make you feel like you are their best friend. The only thing is when they leave you, and move to the next person will feel exactly the same way. And they can enjoy themselves so much in the present that they forget they have an appointment. Okay? They have the capacity to enjoy themselves in the present. Awesome and very rich temperament, especially when the Holy Spirit is in control of such a person's life. Peter the Apostle was like that. Okay? You will notice he spoke most out of the disciples of Jesus. Sometimes he didn't allow Jesus to even finish a sentence when he caught him. You have the melancholy also. Psychologists say this is the richest of the temperaments in their own estimation. They say this is the richest. Very, very high IQ. A good chunk of the geniuses that the world has produced have been of this temperament. idealistic, perfectionist, creative. They're usually artists, musicians, inventors. They're very analytical, very reliable. They may not go out of their way to make friends, but once they do, they don't change friends easily. They stay loyal to their friends. And they keep friends especially because they are self-sacrificing. They'll do anything, do whatever it will cost to make their friends happy or fulfilled. Very, very lovely temperament when under the control of the Holy Spirit. And then you have the phlegmatic, calm, easygoing, no trouble. They don't like confrontation. So usually you can hang around this person without a quarrel in 20 years. Easy, very dependable. They have the capacity to manage details. They're usually very efficient, highly organized, good planners. So they can be very efficient. If you need someone to measure small little details, they're there. You have loads of them who work as accountants. They're usually very humorous too, and they can be very diplomatic. Because they don't like quarreling, they would rather negotiate their way out of a situation. And they're very good under pressure. While the other temperaments would crack up, a phlegmatic would still be in control of their emotions and put up a very calm exterior. Let's talk about the weaknesses. These weaknesses are not an opportunity for us to give excuses for failure or to criticize ourselves, but an opportunity for us to see those areas where we need the help of the Holy Spirit. See, several years ago, about 19 years ago or so, I read a book by Josh McDowell, Building a Positive Self-Image. There was an exercise there, 32 questions to answer. And you were to score yourself between 1 and 5. I took on this exercise and was surprised. I was a graduate already. I was a pastor. You know, I was a teacher of the Word of God. I didn't think I would write any test and score poorly in the marks. By the time I had answered some 3, 4, 5 questions, I was getting disappointed with myself. My scores were low. The test was showing to me that I had a low self-image. And gratefully, I didn't get frustrated over it. When I saw those areas of weakness in my life, scriptures jumped at me. What that exercise helped me to do was to identify specific and practical areas in my life to which I could apply the Word of God to get positive results. And I could measure the changes in my life. We run away sometimes from our weaknesses because we have low self-esteem. Unfortunately, we don't improve and we're unable to overcome those weaknesses because we're avoiding the truth. Truth heals. It may hurt a little bit, but ultimately, it heals. Let's talk about the choleric for a start. The major challenge of a choleric is hostility. The capacity to be hostile. In fact, sometimes cruel. A choleric man or woman can keep malice with a person. They don't mind hurting people sometimes when they're not happy with a person. Somebody said, in fact, that they have the capacity to be cruel. See, they can be insensitive. They're not usually moved with tears. That somebody is weeping does not mean anything. In fact, it's a sign of weakness. Because a choleric may cry only once in 10 years, if it's necessary. So, crying or weeping does not change the fact. When a choleric is not happy with you, they can make life very difficult for you. If a choleric is a boss, they can sack a person at any time. But they can sack the same staff 5 times. If you understand them very well, you just look for their friend to beg them, you'll be restored back to your job. But on the spur of the moment, you are fired. You are sacked. Get out. Okay? I remember the Yoruba proverb that says that it is the person who looks into his wife's eyes that knows that she's weeping. That proverb must have been crafted by a choleric person. Sensitive, not affected by another person's feelings or emotions. And then, violent anger. See, because they are strong-willed, if their strong will is not channeled, while they are still children, and they are taught that violent anger can have serious consequences, if they carry it into adulthood, they can spoil things. It's easy for you to see a choleric bang the table or slam the door. You know, if they carry it beyond that, they will beat somebody, smash something. Violent anger. It's not deliberate. It's just the strength of the emotions that they feel per time. And then also, cholerics are usually not afraid of anybody. So they're usually blunt when they talk. Over time, they discover the power of their tongue. And they can use it to hurt. They can make caustic comments. They can cut a person down to size if they're angry. You know, Jesus cursed a fig tree and it withered. A choleric discovers over time that by talking sharply to a person and making sarcastic remarks, that the person's self-esteem can reduce in their presence. So they can use it on the person deliberately when they are not happy with the person. And then they can be very opinionated, strongly opinionated, because their decision-making process is usually accurate. Sometimes they are not patient enough to realize that there isn't always only one answer to a question. Sometimes you can have 5 different answers to one question and all 5 will be correct. So they tend to be argumentative, okay, because they hold their opinion strongly and whatever it is they do works for them anyway. And then they can be controlling because they are decisive. If they hang around people who don't make up their minds on time, they will make up your mind for you, okay. And sometimes they don't realize they are crossing your boundary. Okay? And they are not patient enough, you know, to wait for people to now be making up their mind. Because some people actually never make up their minds anyway. So, but they do not realize that that's controlling. And then, they can be crafty, manipulative. They can bend rules just to achieve their goals part time. Now, those are possibilities. We find ourselves at different levels. We may have 1 or 2 or more of those weaknesses that we have identified. When this temperament comes under the influence of the Holy Spirit, God does awesome things through the lives of these people. So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, which we read, then you see the particular expressions of the fruit of the Spirit that the choleric person needs. You see there that the choleric person needs love, the God kind of love. The choleric person needs kindness as a fruit of the Spirit. They need to be sensitive to other people's feelings and emotions and not to hurt those feelings at will. A choleric person, I believe, also needs humility or meekness. Okay, because sometimes they battle with a large ego because they are achievers. Let's move on to the sanguine. The major challenge of someone with a sanguine temperament is a weak will, lack of discipline. as good as they are, as exciting and friendly as they are, they find it difficult to make up their minds on their own. They find it difficult to control their appetites, for example. When they eat food, they enjoy food. I told you a sanguine has the capacity to enjoy the present because they are emotional. When they eat food, they enjoy the food. A sanguine person needs to know when to stop eating. And sometimes that can be tough because they're enjoying the food. They need to know when to stop talking, when to stop cracking jokes. Okay? Generally, the appetites, when to stop drinking, even when it comes to the sexual appetite, the weak will, the ability to say no, the ability to stop, sometimes can be the major challenge of a sanguine. Of course, also because they like attention, they enjoy attention, they usually have a large ego. The spelling of large ego here is P-R-I-D-E. Everything needs to revolve around them, and they usually think that they are very important. Everybody is important. But once you begin to compare your importance with that of somebody else, and you think you are better, you've crossed over into pride. And they need to be able to deal with that. Emotionally too, they can be inconsistent. Like I said, the Apostle Peter in the Bible was a typical sanguine. One moment they are happy, excited. 5 minutes later they can explode in anger and become sad. Peter did not understand himself and he was bragging. Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to die. They would arrest him, he would die on the cross. The Bible says that Peter took him aside. We know you are our boss. So I won't embarrass you publicly. Come, let's talk, sir. The Bible says that he rebuked him. Stop saying that, sir. Stop saying that. You won't die. So I said, I'm the one who taught you everything you know now about spiritual matters. I said I will die. I said you will not. Jesus said, okay. They will soon come to arrest me. All of you, you will run away. He said, me? Never. Over my dead body. Jesus said, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you are okay, please strengthen your brethren. Before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me three times tonight. You will see. Bragging. Okay? One moment excited, the other moment sad. Let me add one. I'll call it insecurity. The fear of disapproval. Because they enjoy the attention that they get when they tell those stories, make friends with people and all of that. Secretly, they crave the approval of other people. So they fear rejection secretly in their heart. They fear the disapproval of other people. And that leads to this last one that I will mention. A flexible conscience or a weak conscience. Because of the fear of disapproval or rejection, sometimes they bend the truth or stretch it. Sorry. Sometimes they lie. I didn't want to call it that. Because of the fear of disapproval or rejection by other people, sometimes they exaggerate. Okay? In order to enjoy more approval, they stretch the truth. It was 100,000 naira. Say, it was almost 200,000. See, almost 200,000 is different from 100,000. Okay? I watched this drama when I was young on TV, and somebody just arrived from Mecca. He had never traveled outside his village, not talk of outside his country. And now he went to Mecca for the first time. He couldn't stop talking, describing to people what he saw, the wonders. So he was describing to them the chicken that he saw in Mecca. In Yoruba, he said, Akukomaka, Otobai, the chicken in Mecca. And it was big as this. So somebody there said, Alaji, erele, reduce it.
He said, okay, Otobai. He said, RLS, reduce it further. Okay.
That allergy must have been a sanguine.
Of course, this temperament don't know religion or anything.
I just remembered the story. Exaggeration, stretching the truth, and finding a way to excuse yourself, give the excuse so that you will not feel bad for doing so. Let's move on to the melancholy. Remember that the melancholic person is an idealist, a perfectionist. The flip side of this is that a melancholic person can be negative. Because we don't live in a perfect world. A melancholic person lives in an ideal world, a perfect world in their imagination. That world is a theoretical world. This practical world is not perfect. Okay? The people who live in it are not perfect. So the tendency for a melancholic person is to be negative and to be critical, to be pessimistic, to learn to be disappointed permanently. Things won't work well anyhow. If you take that a little further, a melancholic person applies this to himself or herself. Self-examination, or we call it self-introspection. And he or she just never measures up to his or her own standards. That's a major issue with a melancholic person. Should I mention also about their mood swings? Sometimes a melancholic person can lapse into depression, have these dark clouds hanging over them. I had to battle those dark clouds myself. Depression. Okay? And interestingly, whereas the sanguine will need self-control because they lack that discipline, you know, and they will need peace from the Holy Spirit, the melancholic person needs love and needs joy as a fruit of the Spirit. Joy. To break free from the hold of that depression. I tell you, what happened to me was I used to be pessimistic about life. I used to worry a lot. And then when I got filled with the Spirit of God, I would pray and the Spirit of God would show me the future. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. So even though natural circumstances would make me a bit discouraged, I could now see the future. And it was exciting, powerful. So joy then could be birthed supernaturally. A melancholic person is usually inflexible, rigid on their standards, and they need to learn to be flexible with people. Everybody is not the same. They need to appreciate also that it is not everybody that has their level of IQ. Okay, people have different kinds of intelligences. When it comes to academic intelligence, they may not have it as high as you do, and they need to learn to be patient with people. Long-suffering, endurance, patience, and a lot of humility would help the melancholy. The last one, the phlegmatic. The calm and easygoing person. The major challenge that a phlegmatic person has is lack of ambition and lack of drive. Anyone who hangs around a phlegmatic, as nice as they are, no quarrels, no hassles, this is the part that may cause frustration. Lack of drive, not aggressive or pushful about life. You know, in marriage, usually opposites attract. Very interesting. It's the thing that you like, that you see in somebody else, that trips you about the person. So usually, the people who marry phlegmatics are either sanguine or choleric, but especially the choleric. What the choleric does not have is what a phlegmatic has. A choleric man sees a phlegmatic lady. If you put water in her mouth and tell her not to swallow it for 1 hour, she will not swallow it. As cool as cucumber. So usually they are attracted to each other. But then after marriage, the choleric woman who is a go-getter, a career woman, an achiever, now expects that the husband of the house too should set big goals, achieve big goals. But he wants to take life easy. Then disagreements begin. I have had to talk to choleric men married to phlegmatic ladies. But in a particular instance, the man was wondering why his wife was not doing something. She enjoyed staying with the kids, taking care of the kids, taking care of the house. The man told her to get out. Get out of the house. And began to compare her with other women who were not phlegmatics like her. Of course, the women he was referring to were also cholerics like him. The truth, however, is that he will not marry such people. It will be tough to have two cholerics in the same house. It's not going to be easy. There will be sparks. But usually, they don't marry each other. Because when they meet, within 10 to 15 minutes of meeting together, they already have a disagreement. Because both of them are strongly opinionated. It's the cool one that is an attraction. But then that cool one is cool all around. And then the phlegmatic is usually very low on risk taking, very calculating about life, and they can be stubborn. Stubborn in a diplomatic way. Because diplomacy and tact is their strength. So they don't like confrontation. So they're not likely to tell you no in a sharp way. If they feel that it will result in too much trouble, they will agree with you. But they will still do what they have decided to do. So you can have your say. They will have their way. Okay? And because they do it in a nice, diplomatic, unoffensive way, you won't know that they did not agree with you until you are halfway. On the way to where you are going. If you're a choleric boss, you work with a phlegmatic person, that may be part of your frustration. Every instruction that you give, the person will say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Check 2 hours later, the person is doing it the way he or she feels like doing, because your own way is too much hassle, too much trouble. They can be stubborn. They can also be selfish. Because sometimes they don't go for big things. The little that they have has to be calculated and managed. Sharing it will not be profitable either for them or for you. Okay? So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you see where the phlegmatic needs the help of the Holy Spirit. Love. The first expression of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Because 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 says that the love of God compels us. So, the phlegmatic needs a source of motivation. Because their own needs are usually little, they need to now be able to focus on other people, appreciate the level of needs, the enormity of the needs in people's lives and in the society, and because of that, set big goals so that God can use them to touch other people's lives. It begins actually even with their own families. They also need peace as a fruit of the Spirit, because phlegmatics worry a lot. They're usually very anxious about life and they are fearful. They need faith by the help of the Holy Spirit. They're concerned about the future, worried about this, worried about that. And Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. Amen. Anyway, where does this lead us? We need help. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the point. We need the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God, to take our strength to a new level entirely. To achieve things on a supernatural plane. And we need the power of God to help us overcome our weaknesses. two events are significant in the life of a Christian. The first one, salvation. The destruction of the sin nature in the first place, because all of us were born sinners. And it is the sin nature that fuels these weaknesses. When we accept that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, He forgives us and then removes that sin nature from our heart and plants the nature of God in us. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Secondly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need a power higher than our own to help us to function at optimum level, help us to fulfill our potentials. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to ask someone who already has the power of the Holy Spirit to pray for us so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Once I'm filled, will I need to be filled again? Absolutely yes. If you fill your gas tank with gas, somewhere along the line, it will be exhausted. Once you begin to feel that you are losing control of your emotions, you're lapsing back into your old way of thinking or feeling, it's time to ask the Holy Spirit for help again. We need to be filled constantly, consistently, on a daily basis. I trust in the name of Jesus Christ that the power of God will help you. That if there's any weakness of temperament or character that Satan has exploited and has used to frustrate you, made you to lose a job, lose a relationship, lose some money, lose promotion, by the power of the Spirit of God, that weakness will turn into a strength. If there is anything that you have lost, God will restore it to you. If you lost time, lost a job, lost some opportunities, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, they will be restored back to you. And I prophesy by the Spirit of God that where you failed before, you will not fail any longer. If Satan comes the next time to tempt you, he will meet the power of God in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Above all, you will fulfill your destiny as a leader. You will fulfill your destiny. Your promotion will be limitless. Your progress will not be stranded anymore. You will not be the ex-anointed. You won't tell stories of when God used to bless you while you are still alive. The blessings will continue. They will increase with time. Each year will bring a new level of promotion into your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435. Or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.